Well, Deborah Riley Draper, welcome back to Upfront. How are you?
Fantastic. I love being here with you, Ray. Great to hear your voice, as always.
I know. I pray that all is well as we're in the midst of this coronavirus storm. So much is happening around the world. But we've got some good news that we want our listeners to pay close attention to. And actually, before everything started shutting down, you were actually on tour promoting this new book. We're talking about Olympic Pride, American Prejudice, which is a written, just a new book based on your 2016 film, of which you actually promoted and was my first guest to promote that film.
I absolutely was. I was your first guest. The film did great. You know, it was a 2017 NAACP Image Award nominee. And we had so much footage left. We had done 4 years of research, and Simon & Schuster, the publishing house, heard about the film. They saw it, and they came to me through Blair Underwood, who has written several books for Simon & Schuster, and said, "Do you think you can write a nonfiction book about this period of time? And do you have enough research?" And I was like, "I have 4 years of research." So the result, Ray, is almost 400 pages of history, of Black history, told through the context of 18 African-American athletes who defied Jim Crow and Hitler to compete at the 1936 Olympics. It's their stories. It's an untold story. We go deeper in than we do in the film, because we have 400 pages to tell this story. So it's academic, it's nonfiction history, but it's accessible. It's a good read. It's a read that will make people feel great. They'll feel mad at times. They'll feel sad at times. But at the end, they will be astounded by the resilience and the courage and the bravery and the patriotism of these 18 African Americans, which included a nod to Women's History Month. It included Louise Stokes and Tydee Pickett, who were the first two Black women in the history of the United States to represent our country in the Olympics. So I'm proud of it. And I was in the middle of a tour. I was in New York doing CBS This Morning, CBS Saturday This Morning, which is going to air March 28th. And I did Positively Black on NBC. And so then it all got cut short. So I'm back in Atlanta. I'm tucked away home, safe and sound, but I was in the middle of a book tour, so I'm back. I'm here.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me, too.
Yeah, and I saw you on social media, and I was like, whoa, look at Deborah's doing some amazing stuff. I want to go back to you mentioned that you were able to expand the stories a little bit more in the book than you were in the film. And if we can just kind of go back and kind of recap again, the story is about the other individuals that went with Jesse Owens in 1936 to the Olympics, because most of us only know about the Jesse Owens story, but there were so many others that actually experienced this with him.
Absolutely, Ray. It's a great point, because historically we've received information on just Jesse Owens. So we kind of have the false notion that Jesse was in Berlin in the middle of the Third Reich alone, but there were 18 African-American athletes there. As I said, there were two Black women, Louise Stokes and Tydee Pickett, but Mack Robinson was there. He won a silver medal. That's Jackie Robinson's older brother. Mack Robinson was there. He won a gold medal and a silver medal. He would become a congressman from Illinois. He would be the co-founder of the Congressional Black Caucus. He would write the resolution that would become Black History Month for the month of February. Archie Williams was there. He won a gold medal as well. He would become a Tuskegee Airman. Dr. Jimmy LaValle was there, who would become the first Black chemist for Kodak and write a ton of patents. And in fact, the LaValle Commons at UCLA is named for Dr. Jimmy LaValle. So this was an extraordinary contingency of 18 incredible elite athletes, but great people too. And I didn't want their stories to fall by the wayside. And of course, in a 90-minute film, you cover them. But in the book, we talk about their childhood, their parents, what they learned as young people, what made them want to have the resolve to even want to be an athlete in the first place, and be able to have the courage to represent the United States in Nazi Germany when they were representing a country in a country where neither country considered them full citizens.
Right.
So it's ironic and triumphant and crazy at the same time. And there's so many parallels between 1936 and 2020. 1936 was an election year. 1936 saw the rise of a really crazy dictator that really wanted to make his country great and wanted to demonstrate the nationalism through Aryan supremacy. So there are lots of parallels between then and now. So the story is modern, it's current, it's then and now.
How were you able to, because you actually wrote the film, the challenges that you may have had in writing the book, because this is your first book, correct? You've never written a...
Absolutely.
Okay.
God bless Simon & Schuster, because it was my first book. And I had to learn to write like a nonfiction author because I'm accustomed to writing scripts.
Right.
So, and that's a different muscle. So I actually had to retrain my brain, Ray, to think in more expository nonfiction ways as opposed to, writing a script. So that was a challenge, the first draft, then the second draft, then the third draft. And then they were like, aha, this is what we're after. And then 400 pages later, once I got that rhythm and understood the direction of how to connect the story together differently, because I didn't have pictures, right? I didn't have a cast in the way that I had in the film. So the strong writing needed to emerge to carry people through 400 pages.
This also pairs you once again with Blair Underwood, who served as an executive producer on the film project. What was it like working and touring with him this time around?
Well, it's really interesting because this is Blair's seventh book.
Okay.
And my first. So he has the imprint on Simon & Schuster. So this book is on his imprint. So he has that publishing knowledge that I didn't have at all. So that was really helpful. And he'd been on a ton of book tours before, so he could brief me on what to expect and what to do. And he just knows a ton about publishing and was a great aid in helping me find my voice as a writer in that particular industry. And also asking the right questions with the publishers and pushing them. So it's been great. He what a great guy. What a super smart guy. So it's been wonderful, and I've learned a lot.
You're listening to the voice of filmmaker and author Deborah Riley Draper. We're talking about her new book, Olympic Pride, American Prejudice. Are there any chances that we're going to see this as a feature film? I know it was an independent film. It's a book now, but are we going to see this with like some actors, playing these amazing people?
From your lips to God's ears, I will tell you a couple people have already reached out. You never know where this goes, Ray, but it is a rather incredible story. It is indeed the Hidden Figures of sports, for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful that we will get some fantastic actors. Maybe Zoe Kravitz can play Patty Pickett, and maybe Kelly Rowland can play Louise Stokes. I don't know. I'm making this up.
Yeah. But I'll say bring back Stephon James as Jesse Owens. He did such a great job in Race. We'd love to see, the story expanded.
We'd love to see him with teammates that he had.
Yes.
And what's interesting, Jesse Owens' roommate, Dave Albritton, who was his roommate at Ohio State, was actually his roommate in the 1936 Olympics. And when Dave Albritton won his medal, they wrote that it was Jesse Owens because they couldn't tell the difference between them.
Wow.
Because they all looked alike, I imagined, in 1936. And these two gentlemen looked nothing alike,
right,
at all. They were just roommates. They weren't twins.
Yeah. Wow. So you've been able to create this niche, Deborah, of being able to tell these untold stories about our Black history, of course, beginning with Versailles 73 and now with Olympic Pride, American Prejudice. Do you feel that this is the trajectory moving forward, or has this just been luck that you've been able to unearth these amazing stories about our culture?
I think it's luck, but it's certainly being a part of the culture and wanting to tell stories I actually want to see, because I'm a fan of film. So I love going to the movies. I love watching movies. So I want to make and distribute films that I want to see and films that I can be proud of. Last year, I did a short film that's not a documentary about immigration. It starred Jasmine Guy. It was called Illegal Rose. So it was still a story of our culture, because brown and black people are always marginalized, particularly when it comes to immigration. And we often think of immigration and we think of the border. But so many people from Mexico are marginalized. But people from Jamaica, Barbados, Trinidad, Africa are also caught up in the immigration system and the crisis and the challenge of what is happening, not necessarily at our borders, but what's happening between Homeland Security and people who are immigrants at this country and in this country. So I told that story. My next story is based on the book Coffee Will Make You Black. I'm super excited about that. That is going to be a coming-of-age story. It'll be my first narrative feature film. And I can't wait to share that story. The script is really good. I wrote it myself, so I'm excited.
Yeah, that was one of my questions I was going to ask. Where are we with that project? Because I think you guys were supposed to start this past summer, correct, with filming?
This summer.
This summer, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know, because casting, you know, when you're casting children, it takes a little bit longer than if you're casting all adults. But we don't know. All productions are shut down right now, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
And so as soon as this is over, we'll be back in action.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there another story that you would like to tell, one that you may have in your back pocket that it's like, you know what, I would just love to get my hands on that story?
Oh, gosh, Ray, there are so many stories that I see every single day I'm confronted with something I want to tell, but I'm interested in telling a Tuskegee Airmen love story. I'm interested in that. I'm interested in telling some contemporary stories around just the modern black woman and what it is to be a modern black woman with a career and a family and what that looks like in a rom-com. I'm interested in that. But my true passion and heart lies within the Harlem Renaissance, and I just want to tell a bunch of stories from that period.
Absolutely. Well, Deborah Riley Draper, you continue to stay safe. And again, if you are able to go online and get her book, make sure you check that out during this corona storm. We're talking about Olympic Pride, American Prejudice. And again, it's a great slice of African-American history, as well as a salute to women during Women's History Month. And Deborah, how can people continue to follow you on your journey on social media?
Absolutely. Well, I would love to ask, if people are at home, if they want to be inspired and entertained and read, pick up Olympic Pride, American Prejudice. They can order it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any place fine books are sold, or they can get the Kindle or the audiobook. It's great for everyone in the family. And they can follow me on Instagram at Bersailles, BERSAILLES 73, which is the name of my first film, which they can see on Amazon Prime as well. But let's support the arts right now. I know right now we are in turmoil and we are uncertain, but what the arts do, and people like you, Ray, and we bring people together as artists and as creatives, and it serves as an anchor, not just in the good times, but in the tougher times too, to remember that so many people before us went through very turbulent, trying, oppressive times, and they saw the light and they made it through. And I think they become a really good blueprint for us on how to deal with things that are uncertain and things that are territories that we've not yet braved. So I wish everyone to be safe. Find a good book, read a good movie. Hopefully they're one of mine. My company's called Coffee Bluff Pictures. You can also log on to Coffee Bluff Pictures and learn more about me and the company and the film. And I thank you so much for your time, Ray. And I appreciate what you do out here.